Hey everyone, welcome to week three of the Are You The One Rehapup podcast. My name's Allie Lasher, and with me is my co-host, Adam Bongiovanni. Adam, what's going on?
Nothing much, just excited to talk about this show.
That sounds very convincing.
I know, that's what I thought. That's what I was going for.
This week, I thought, went a lot better for me than last week, I think, because it was only an hour, but I really like this episode.
It was just a lot less daunting knowing we don't have to watch 3 hours of Are You The One, like, straight. So, like, I feel like 1 hour is just a treat because it's just quick drama, nothing for that's going to make you go crazy.
I liked it. I had fun with this episode. But at just like last week, beginning started out with the star of last week, Bria, going wild.
Wow, Bria's gone wild, and I think it starts off exactly what we were talking about with Zach last week, that he's insane.
Yeah, I mean, I loved, she's sort of like, cut me off if you see me with Zach, like anybody believes she's not going to go back to Zach, but I did enjoy seeing her get a little reckless without Zach.
No, it was nice, and at least she let her hair down, and then he has to say, oh, I get jealous, but instead of like maybe talking to her or expressing that, you know what, I realize that I like you, he obviously does what any Are You The One cast member would do, and he hooks up with someone else, or he tries to hook up with someone else. He doesn't successfully do it.
I have to correct myself from last week. Samantha went from a cast member I didn't really like that much to my favorite on the show. Like, wow. I loved that she not only dodges the kiss from Zach, because we saw everyone, including her last week, going for Zach, but she's calling him out. I'm like, I know this is just a rebound. If he wants to, you know, hook up with me in front of everyone, then this is just for drama and I'm not about it. I take back everything I said. I loved this on Samantha.
No, good for her, because I feel like especially when the alcohol is flowing, it's easy to just be like, you know what, screw it, we're in Are You The One Hawaii, and just like make out with everyone. But like, she handled that very logically, so good for Samantha.
The theme of this episode is just like intelligent women. I was here for it.
Yes. Oh my god, we'll get into the what I think is one of the most intelligent things I've seen on Are You The One, but that's just a teaser for later in the episode.
All right, perfect. We have something from Twitter here. Dan, from Danny, he tweeted, or I don't know if I should call him Daniel. Samantha started calling him Danny. Maybe that's like only when you're with him, but
Daniel tweeted, wait, I guess, are you with him? That's how you're not. No. Okay, then call him Daniel. Call him Daniel.
But usually it's like everyone calls someone like Dan or Danny, and then the girlfriend is like, Daniel.
Yeah, so right? It's like that weird, like, I'm calling him by his proper name. No, so there, she's role reversing here. I enjoy it.
So Daniel says, damn, Zach, the smooch monster got to teach you a thing or two about how to get a girl to kiss you, wink emoji.
Oh, burn. That's awful. Oh, that's so cringy. Oh my god, that's terrible.
Also, while we're talking about Samantha, do you like her prison mic look?
Who is this?
So, did you watch The Office?
Yes, I did. Oh, you said prison mic. I think you said prison night look. Oh, no. My god. That's exact. Oh, I'm so glad you brought that up. And I'm not, like, obviously trying to be like, I thought of it first. But I said that to my brother the first episode. I'm like, Nick, she looks like prison mic. And she's still going for it, though. Like, she's not stopping, which I'm all about it. No, I'm a huge Office fan, so I'm really glad that you brought that up.
Well, that's funny, too, because I, like, definitely noticed it last week. But then there's just not a time in the 3 hours to bring that up.
I know, we were talking for 6 hours, so it was really tough to just think about it. You know, we had so much else to talk about.
Let's talk about the couple of the episode, Maria and Shamoy, who start out where, like, they want to set us up, like, a little rocky in the beginning, where Maria's, like, feeling the feels, but Shamoy is maybe the most awkward person in the world.
I think that he's turned into, after watching that scene with the shower, and now he was reluctant. I just thought it was like the most adorable little scene. It made me love Shamoy that much more.
I don't know. When he like sort of goes to take off his pants in the shower with her, like first he has moves. Like he's like, I'm going to take a shower. She's like, I need a shower too. He then says, why are you leaving? And then drops the ball. Like he's about to take his pants off and then does it.
Yes, but do you think it was like why? Okay, why do you think he didn't do it? I think he didn't do it because he was like just really nervous and didn't want to like take the next step by full on showering with someone, which I think is a really, you don't see that on Are You The One, so that's why I liked it so much. But do you think he was just like really awkward and didn't know how to like get her in the shower?
Yeah, Shamoy can't close. I don't think it was like out of respect, because he's sort of oh, why are you staying? And then she comes in and he's like, are we going to be in our bathing suits? And he just kind of like panics and she's like, I'm leaving. This is weird.
Like, but isn't that kind of refreshing to see on Are You the One? Like someone who can close. Like, I feel like these are all the big like F boys. No, I don't want to curse. I don't know why. But like they're the big douchebags at the bar who like always can close the deal. Like, isn't it nice to see someone who really can't close the deal?
Yeah, no, I mean, I don't mean to dog out Shamoy, but if he were like, oh, I don't want to like sleep with her, or take a shower with her, that would be fine. But it's like the fact that he wants to and he just like stumbles over it. It's cute because usually we see it as like the nerdy guy, like the Ethan or the person who's like, you know, awkward, whatever. But yeah. Shamoy is like this hot stud. And then he's like, oh, like, should I keep my pants on like that? It's cute. It's cute.
Yeah. No. And then he's got a very nice smile. Let me just add. I think Shamoy is the most handsome guy in the house. I don't know if it's a hot take, but that's what I'm going for.
All right. I ship that. I ship you and Shamoy.
Shamadam.
Shamadam.
Yeah, I think that works. I've been to the Virgin Islands before, so like I guess we could just make it work.
Okay. So if I'm dating someone, they have to have been to New Jersey.
Yeah. Well, hasn't everyone been to New Jersey? Isn't that like a rite of passage to live in America?
I think people really try to dodge New Jersey for the most part.
Yeah, I do too, and I live here.
All right, let's talk about this love triangle between Asia Lewis and Kenya, maybe more of a love rhombus when you add Tevin. We could build a real like a CT web of craziness if we then add Megan and Jasmine or Morgan and Jasmine. It becomes this whole thing. But let's stick with Asia Lewis, Tevin, and Kenya.
Got it. I like sticking with a foursome.
Now, have you been made breakfast since Ja Rule's last single?
I honestly can't tell you. I thought that was a fantastic like reference. I was very impressed with Lewis. But I can't tell you when Ja Rule had a last hit single. So I could have been made breakfast since then, but there's probably a good chance that I haven't been.
Now, what's hard for me with this love rhombus is that like I don't see the chemistry between Asia and Lewis. But I really like them both. Like I like Asia, and I felt bad that she was so hurt when she found out. So Tevin tells, I don't know, some people don't watch Are You the One, listen to the podcast. So Tevin tells Asia what Kenya and Lewis have not told her, which is that they got freaky in the Boom Boom Room. But what's weird, like Kenya's defense is, so like I'm back at law school, so we'll do the facts of the case. Kenya's defense is that she didn't know that Asia liked Lewis, quote, like that. Yeah. Asia is like, you're my best friend in the house and you should have just told me it happened because now I look stupid. I'm Team Asia here.
No, I think I'm Team Asia as well. I think I mentioned this last week that I feel like we weren't really getting the real person behind Asia, and I kind of like seeing her vulnerable and upset about something and like crying. I feel like that kind of brought out the real person that she was, and she was able to just say, you know what, this upsets me, I'm crying. But I also, to go back a little bit, Tevin said in his quote, Kenya topped off Lewis. Is that a thing? Do people say topped off? Like I was like, am I just really that like dumb? Like I've never heard topped off before.
I was deep in the Twitter happenings of the Are You the One cast earlier this morning, and I think Brett tweeted something like, I am for now on for like now on forever saying topped off instead of anything else.
Yeah,
I had never heard that before.
Yeah, we're just, I guess, out of the loop. But, so to go back to the whole situation, I genuinely think that Lewis didn't know how much Asia was into him. And I also don't, I genuinely think that Kenya didn't know how much Asia liked Lewis as well. Like I said, I think she's a guarded person. I think she was taking it slow. So I don't think it's a great thing to see your friend and the guy you're interested topping each other off, if that's how we're going to word it. But I, at the same time, like I kind of do see where they're coming from, where they didn't realize it was that deep.
I do also think like, yes, she liked Lewis in the sense that he was the one she'd been spending the most time with, and everybody sort of wants to have a person in the house. But even if it's not that serious feelings wise, like everyone's been in that situation when you're in a group of friends and like two people start like dating or hooking up, and like you don't want to be the last to know, like that they're in a group of three. And it's adding insult to injury that he was sort of her guy in the house. But the fact that your best friends don't tell you and people know about it, yeah, I think makes it so much worse.
That's true. I guess the fact that everyone else did know about it kind of makes it awful. And then I guess I don't know if Tevin had, like, do you think he had ulterior motives by telling her? Like, do you think he was just like, you know what, like, I'm just going to mention it? I think he was genuinely just talking and, like, just it kind of slipped out without realizing she didn't know.
So I thought that too, but then he says something weird, like, oh, that's why I didn't tell you. I'd have to go back and watch it again, which okay. I'm not going to do, but
yeah,
he,
no, don't do that.
But, like, I'm not 100% sure what his motives were. Because there, I think maybe, like, the way the scene was presented to us is that they are building sort of, like, a full friendship. She says yeah. she can be, like, keep it 100 with him, like, whatever. But, and so I think it's more like we've become close, so I should mention it. I think he knew she didn't know.
Yeah, I see that. Based on, like, I didn't realize he said that, so I would agree with you on that one.
But also, like, she mentions to everyone else in the house that this happened weeks ago, and I'm sort of like, how long have we been in the house?
Yeah.
Weeks ago?
And we know how long Are You the One weeks are, but, like, I feel like for me, if I was in that house and they were like, all right, like, the weeks are shortened or whatever, I still wouldn't be able to be like, oh, it happened 3 weeks ago if it happened, like, 8 days ago. Like, so I genuinely think it seems like it happened legitimate weeks ago. So who knows when this is, like, the timeline of this is. I have no idea, but that is a good point you brought up.
I do wonder if we're seeing this, like, if this actually happened later in the season, but I don't know. I still think that I am someone who says that, like, this happens weeks ago. If you want to, like, if the thing she's mad about is that she didn't know, that she's exaggerating the timeline, like, it happened okay. 3 days ago, but it was weeks ago. But I'd also, like, we've heard before from people on the show that, like, they show some things out of order, like all reality TV shows do. So,
of course,
who can say?
And a question, when they do the truth booth, do they talk about this happening? Like, isn't this brought up at the matchup ceremony? Isn't this brought up when they're pairing up together?
I did not notice that.
Okay, then maybe I'm just
most of it happened without
that.
Them. Lewis picked Asia first. I don't know. Maybe it was brought up, but I didn't try anything.
That's there. The only way I feel like we could, like, measure the time, because then it'd have to happen within that time period. But right. None of us are going to go back and watch. So let's just we could just move on.
All right, let's talk about the fate button, because now this is our third time seeing the fate button in action.
Yeah,
and I'm confused. Maybe it's the fourth time. It's week three, but did we have?
I don't know. Let's just say third.
Okay. So we've seen it. No, I think we've seen it long enough now to, like, make a decision on it. And I feel like I gave it a chance, but I officially don't like the random fate button. And I definitely don't like people being like, fate is real. But
oh, God,
I just
that
think
was
from,
awful.
Yeah, that was terrible. But from a viewer perspective, like, whether or not it's producer manipulation, who cares? It's just boring. And there's nothing happening in the episodes now besides dates in the house. Dates out of the house, the matchup, like, it's almost taken away this fun part of the show with the dates. And I almost wish, I don't care if they do it every time. I almost wish it was like 1 week there'll be a date, then two fate buttons, or challenge, then two fate buttons. Then they're going to do, like, whoever fan vote gets to pick a date. I don't know, like, just making sure. I've been watching too much Love Island, but I just wish there was something happening more than just this stupid button that Taryn should be pushing. It makes no difference what woman or man comes up to press the button. Like, I just don't like that it's going to be consistently randomized the rest of the season.
It seems like it's awfully planned from, like, Are You the One's perspective. Like, I originally thought the person who pushed it was also going on the dates, like the two people who pushed it. I don't know why that was in my head. So it's so weird how random people push the button. But then on top of that, like, I feel like I enjoyed Are You the One for the little bit of strategy that was there, where they could be like, all right, let's play these competition, or let's plan this out so this person goes on the date with this person. But now it's like, oh, let's hope that Marie and Shamoy go on the date together, you know? Like, that's all they could do. So I get that the producers or whoever ever want to, like, kind of have their hand in things a little bit further, but I also agree that I feel like this is such a useless thing.
And then we get the outcome that, like, they would have wanted,
right?
But I think the trick is they just have to do challenges that you can't rig, where you don't know, you know, you have to pick a date, you have to pick a match based on a quote they've said about themselves or what their mom says about them, or, like, if they're too concerned with people rigging the dates for the outcome they want to get the truth that they want, then just make it, like, a more anonymous challenge like they've had. But we need some, like, fun silliness in the midst of all of this, like, serious dating and fighting. They get the outcome they want. They get Shamoy and Maria on the date. Who cares? No, I was excited to see it, but like in terms of like, oh, fate is real. And they'll be going with Lewis and Lauren.
Yeah. So this date was, so they were riding horses. Like that was the whole premise of this date, right? They were getting on horses and they were riding them.
Yeah. Lauren, honey, loves to, honey, ride horses, honey. Listen to me, honey.
I don't get like, do you think it's like people just say these things like this is going to catch on? Like this is going to be like cabs are here with Jersey Shore. Like this is going to work. Like I just can't see people saying these things over and over. And I'm sure she just naturally says, honey, but you're on national TV. Like it was just beyond annoying to me. And then she gets on this horse, right? And then she keeps bragging about how she's from the South. She could ride horses, yada, yada, yada. The horse throws her off probably for saying honey too much. She gets up and says it again. It's like, oh my God.
I don't think she's trying to have a catchphrase. I don't think it'll catch on either. I think she just isn't conscious of it. Like, I bet she watches this now. I was like, oh my God, I say honey all the time. Like, occasionally, some jerk will like tweet to podcasters and be like, oh, you say this all the time. Do you know that? And like, no, I don't know that. Thanks for ruining my life. I don't care. So I think that's what I'm doing to her.
Yeah, I feel like that if I had a catchphrase or something I said on here, I would beat the dead horse so bad and say it over and over just to bother people. I think that would be my goal.
That's like what Eric's doing on Summer of Stein now with Oof.
Yes. Oh my God. That's the best podcast on our hat, by the way. They like, it's amazing. I just want to throw that out there.
All right. So if Adam has a tick, a verbal tick, and you want to call him out on it so you can hear it more, you should add him at Adam Bongo.
I've got a really nice at the other day. I want to throw this out there. One of the listeners, his name is Christopher, he said he would watch a full Adam Are You the One with like all Adams. So I was very appreciative.
There you go.
It could happen. We can make it happen with my clones. I have one twin. Not enough, though.
Well, you could do like a double shot of love, like the Icky twins on MTV or VH1. Did you ever watch that?
No, but I do know what you're referencing to. And I do. There's no way I think we'd ever be able to be on a dating show together. I think we'd kill each other.
All right. Also, that's a good teaser to what we're going to talk about at the end. I don't know if you even know, but we'll get there.
I think I know what you're talking
about. There's some casting news.
I think I know.
Do you know this?
Wait, is it outside of Are You the One? Like, is it out, like a different subject?
We'll see.
Okay, yeah, maybe I'll be surprised too. Okay, let's keep going.
All right, so let's talk about Maria and Shamoy on this date. First of all, she directs Shamoy to take his shirt off, which, great call, Maria. He looked really good on that horse.
Yeah, you know what? Why not be shirtless riding a horse, I guess, right? There's no harm to it.
Unless if Lauren was shirtless, that would have been much more painful probably when she hit the ground. I don't know. I think anyone who is a fan of Full House, who watched Michelle fall off the horse,
yes,
in Full House, was freaking out. I was scared for Lauren.
What if they just did that whole thing over? Like, where she, like, we got, like, a Lauren twin come out, and, like, she's like, you'll be okay, like, you're, and she's like, I'm scared, I don't remember anything. That would be the best Are You the One plot twist of all time if they just turn into a full scripted, Full House rerun.
You can dream.
Yeah, we will.
We'll see.
We will.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I like Maria and Shamoy. Looking ahead, they're going to be the first confirmed match of the season. I think they're a good match. Do you get the feeling that they like each other the same amount, or is Shamoy like a little bit more into Maria than Maria's into Shamoy?
I actually thought it was the opposite. Like, I don't know.
Oh, yeah,
hot take. I thought that she was more into him than he was into her. And this might stem from the whole me thinking that he was like not showering with her on purpose, but I don't know. I think he my vibe at least is that he likes her, but I still feel like there was a little disappointment when maybe I'm way off, when they were perfect match, and maybe it was on her end and maybe I just read it wrong, but that I just for some reason thought that he liked her a little bit less.
I think they both thought they would be a match. I don't think either of them were disappointed, but something, I think we're both catching the same vibe, but like something feels like not as fully into it as some of the other early perfect matches have been.
Yeah, I agree. I'm with you on that. And I don't, maybe they'll make it work, but I don't see them making it work too long outside of the show.
Yeah, I don't see them being together either.
Yep. We're both in the same
page. Sorry to be a downer.
No, yeah, life goes on.
So we called for more Mo last week, Momo. And if you didn't already like Mo, now you must, because the only scene he has in two or three episodes of Are You the One is with a punching bag.
It was just phenomenal. It's like the producers are like, listen to the podcast and they're like, all right, like they told the editors, like, we need to throw in a punching bag scene somehow and get more Mo in there. So let's do it at the same time. And he's showing, who is it? What's her name? I'm blanking on her name.
Kayla.
Yes, Kayla. Okay. And he's showing her like how to like use her, like get proper form. And it's like the most random scene that makes no sense. And it's like thrown in there for absolutely no reason. So I feel like the only proper explanation is that it was because of us.
Yeah, I mean, almost anyone with anything better to do probably is not listening to this.
Most
but,
people.
Maybe.
Yeah, I doubt it. I doubt it.
What do you make of Daniel and Samantha as a couple? We get this cute little fishing date between them.
I think it's going to take a few more episodes of him not trying to make out with everyone before I could trust that he's actually into someone. Like, I don't know what he's saying is real and what he's saying just to hook up with someone. So I feel like we're gonna need some more time. She seems to really like him. Like, she seems fully smitten. Like, whenever he talks, like, she get like covered whenever he comments or she covers up that part of the face. Like, I've never seen that happen before, so I'm assuming that means she really likes him.
Yeah, this puzzles me as a couple, but it's one of those where it like might just be crazy enough to work.
Yeah,
but they're not who I would have like picked originally.
Yeah, I think that, I don't know, I the first vibe with her is that, like, I know her name, her nickname is Miss Independent. I don't know, based on what we've seen from him and based on what we've seen from her up to this point, I didn't expect this to happen, but you know what, if it works, it works.
All right, let's talk about the truth booth. We talked about it a little bit. I will issue a correction. People are saying and bragging on Twitter that this is the fastest perfect match in history. This was the third truth. Oh, so it must have been the third fate button. This is the third truth booth. And Cam and Michaela. Or no, wait, I'm sorry. Is this the second truth booth?
This. Yeah, no, it's the second one, right?
My brain is fried.
No, I have no idea.
No,
honestly.
No. Because we had Tomas. And I'm looking this
Maria?
Up. I'm sorry, guys. Everyone hates
it
me.
It was Tomas and Maria,
yes.
Wasn't it?
God, my brain is so fried. This is bad that I have to look this up. I'm really sorry.
No, because I'm on the same page, so don't feel bad.
I'm pretty sure this was a third truth booth, and Cameron and Michaela were also confirmed in the third truth booth. And then technically, Paris and Pratt could have been confirmed week one, but they faked a fight so that they didn't have to go in. So, you know, it's good. It's good that they got a perfect match week three. Yeah, so Tomas and Maria went in week one. Andrew and Asia went in week two. Confuses me. Because we did one podcast on three episodes, and the first episode was two episodes, so I'm all crazy. But yes, this was week three. Very impressive, but not the fastest in history.
Yeah, no, good for them. They got it. But at the same time, is it really good for them? Like, the producers really set this one up. Like, it was the fate button. Like, I know they would have done it anyway, but it would have been nice for them to kind of figure that out on their own and just fully, easily be able to get that done.
I don't feel like the producers, like, if it were totally random, like, if the first week Tomas and Maria were a perfect match,
okay,
based on the like pure only being set up. But like Shamoy and Maria were an established couple in the house. And it's almost like if they did a challenge where they could pick people, like Shamoy and Maria would have been together. Asia and Lewis would have been together. Callie and Brett would have been together. So like when they end up on a date, we're not like, oh, they rigged it.
No, you're right.
By being together. You know what I mean? Like they did find it out.
I get it. Like what you're saying is that anyway, how this like went down, like whether it was the producers or them, it would have ended up this way. Like this wasn't just a random two people that were. No, I get it. I agree with you on that. Good point.
Right. We have a question from sort of in the same vein from Tara Mitchell from Twitter. It said, are you happy production rigged the fate button so that two of the most boring contestants would be sent to the honeymoon suite?
I was going to like say that I don't think there's much more that could be done with this couple. Like they like each other. They're not, doesn't seem like there's going to be a lot of drama with either of them. So I think we kind of got all we could have got out of this couple. And I am happy that they're going to the honeymoon suite, not because they're just because they're quote unquote boring, but just because I don't think there's much more left to explore with them.
Yeah, way harsh, Tara. But I didn't think about this until I read this question. It does make sense. Again, not that they're boring. I thought Maria brought a lot to the first two episodes, and like a willingness to sort of meet a lot of different people and mix it up in the house. But they were going to be a solid couple for a while. And it does, in this sense, it does make sense that they would put them on the date as opposed to Brett and Callie or Tevin and Kenya, who are still sort of making drama in the house, whereas they're probably the most solid couple right now.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. And do you think that when these people like go so early into the like their perfect match so early, like it bums them out a little bit because they're like, okay, like we're not experiencing everything with everyone else? I think that would probably be a valid concern for most.
Yeah, I think it depends what you're looking for on the show. Like, if you're on the show because you want to be, that's sort of what Paris and Pratt did. Like, if you're on the show because you want to get recognition and you want to be on the challenge or you want to parlay this into another show, like, you don't want to go to the honeymoon suite. That's extremely boring. But if you're like actually on the show because you want to have just like a fun experience, you want a free vacation, maybe you'll meet someone, then it's fine. But I think for the most part, people are probably upset to go to the honeymoon suite this early. And maybe that's what we were feeling between Maria and Shamoy. And it wasn't about them not really liking each other.
That's a good point. I agree with you on that. It could have been like, oh, we're going to miss out on some things. That could have been the disappointment.
Which is why I think Brian has often said, my co-host on the challenge wrap up has often said that he wishes that you didn't leave the house when you're a perfect match. I don't mind it getting pared down, but I do think it would be an interesting concept for the perfect match couples to stay in the house.
Even if they got like a special suite in the house, or like they got like once a week, they got to go on a really cool date or something that kind of set them apart. That'd be nice. But I agree. I think that the fact that they leave and a lot of these people might be there for TV time, like it kind of does, the reward isn't as great as what these people might be looking for. So no, I like that concept.
All right, so we talked about the strongest couple in the house, the first perfect match. Let's talk about one of the weaker couples. Callie and Brett caused a lot of drama this episode.
Oh my God, I have so much. Like, this probably bothered me almost more than anything I've ever seen on the show, and I'm probably saying that with recency bias. But it was Brett's attitude as a 26-year-old man was so embarrassing. And like, I'm going to lay into this man throughout for the next few minutes of this podcast, and I hope that's okay with you.
Oh, anything you want to do is okay with me. I'm here for it. Yeah, I agree. This is very immature that basically Callie leaves Brett for 3 minutes and is found later talking to Zach, and Brett just goes completely apeshit, which is also like the number one way to identify that someone is not a chill person is if they say the words, I'm a chill person.
Yeah. And he, like, in his comment, like, I'm one of the most chill people. Like, this, like, okay, so let's go, I guess, dive a little deep. So so what happened was he went inside, he started talking to Zach, flipped out on her, like acted like she was having sex with his brother in front of him. Like, it was the most, he obviously overreacted, but that's like where we're starting with this. To me, it proved that he's one of the most insecure little men I've ever seen on this show. And the fact that he was so worried about his quote unquote, are you the one girlfriend, which I don't even know what to call it, was so worried that she was talking to another guy, showed how little security he has with her and how little security he has with himself. There's two things that could happen, right? When someone is talking to someone else, and even if it's someone you're dating in the real world, there's two things that could happen. They could most likely just have a conversation, or B, they could make out with them or kiss them or whatever. If they do the latter and they do B, you don't want to be with that person anyway. If you're in a relationship and you are freaking out that your significant other is talking to someone of the opposite sex, you should not be in a relationship. You should not be with that person because it shows you have no trust and you don't believe in that person at all.
Boom.
I was so mad at this. Are you that? Oh my God. Like, if you trust someone or you like someone, just let them talk to someone. Who's going to want to date someone when they're not allowed to talk to anyone?
Which you can, I thought it was ridiculous too. And you can maybe be like, oh, he was drunk and that was a really bad moment for him. And if he like apologized and like that was out of character, whatever. But then he gets to the matchup ceremony and she like rejects him epically, which we'll talk about. But like, he immediately is like, well, I agree. I didn't like you either. Like, just the most immature reactions to anything that he could have. To Brett's credit, the one thing that would piss me off as well is that she keeps calling him Zach like 700 times, which is almost inexplicable because, like, I don't get it. Like, you're just like, you have him on your mind or something. Like, then it's almost like giving credence to why he's pissed. But That was just one bad moment for Callie.
Yeah, and I thought it was like almost comical at the end where like he was like, my name's not Zach. And they're like, you keep calling him Zach. His name's Brett. And she was like, oh, yeah. And then like she was like they kept going. And she's like, Zach. And she kept going with it. At that point, it was just like, oh, my God, this is absolutely it was like a scene out of a movie. And I also don't like how he was kind of like so angry and kind of not like physical. I don't want to accuse the guy of doing something he didn't do, but he was like getting in her face a bit. And like for something so minuscule, it's the kind of like what led to get him to this point. Like, why is he acting so irrationally over her talking to a guy? Like, is there more that we didn't see? Like, yeah. I don't get it.
No, I think 100% like this was a big red flag for Brett.
Yeah. I was disappointed because I didn't see him like in prior episodes. Like he didn't seem like this type of person. So like it was kind of disappointing to see him act like that.
Let's go right to the matchup ceremony. I mean, the only other thing is that Asia, Kenya, and Lewis sort of talk it out in the open, and Kenya's reaction here like sort of surprised me in the sense that she ultimately sort of comes to the point where she's like, "You're right, and I'm sorry, and I didn't know, but I didn't know," and I think that's all fine now.
Yeah, I think we're all gravy.
I did love how she's like, if you told me you liked him, I would have never, I would have told you. She takes back that she wouldn't have done it, but she would have at least told her, she says.
You know what? At least if she tops someone off, it's good that she tells them about it.
You always got to tell people about a top off. That's the rule.
Yeah.
All right. So we go into the matchup. And at first I was a little stunned because it didn't seem like they're making any changes. Like they're all sort of in a place where, oh, we have three beams. I'm one of those beams, so we're all going to pick the exact same people and just keep getting three beams.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like they understand the whole strategy concept yet, but you know what? Like, whatever they think is going to work, I guess they got to find out for themselves.
Yeah, so Lewis picks Asia, Cam picks Kayla, Tevin picks Kenya, Daniel picks Samantha. Sorry, I missed when Lauren and Andrew was his name?
Sure.
Yeah, when they matched up, but they did. And then we have a beautiful moment between Brett, Callie, Terrence, and the rest of the house.
Amazing. This is phenomenal. And I think you'd probably do it justice explaining this epic shutdown.
Yeah, I mean, I just think Brett sort of shows up. As far as we know, they haven't had a conversation about what happened in the house. Brett rolls up to the matchup ceremony very confidently and is like, well, I'm still into Callie, despite any like minor issues we may have had like one time a long time ago, weeks ago. And Callie's just silent. Someone in the audience is like, say what you got to say. And Callie, which I love, kind of shades the show. She's like, I think it's unfair that I have to say this now in front of everyone, but I will. And then proceeds to just give him like a complete rejection note, like very maturely explaining that like he has trust issues that are a problem. That's when he's like, well, so do you. And she's like, well, they're different. And she just stays very calm, very mature, and says this is her number one deal breaker. And honestly, I think she does this better than I do in my own life, like knowing what you want and acting on it and knowing what you don't want and acting on it. And it's very easy to sort of like be like, okay, well, I'll give him another chance. She's like, no, I'm sorry. Like, this isn't going to work anymore and I have to end it. I thought this was maturely handled and smartly handled. And I hope they're not a match because otherwise it kind of undoes all of this.
No, Callie, I think is one of the most mature people we might've seen on this show. Cause most people are like trying to overcome their past and trying to redo things in the proper manner. And she has obviously had issues with guys who are extremely jealous and controlling. And she said like, you know what, this is not what I want anymore. I don't want a guy who's going to be like that. So she recognizes that and says, I don't think there's any way we make this work. I think Callie definitely deserves the MVP of the episode. If that were a thing we did, like she was absolutely awesome. She shaded the show. Like what more could we ask for in like an epic shutdown?
And JR on Twitter said, did Callie just get the most mentally adjusted Are You the One cast member awards? She's getting a lot of awards on this podcast.
No, for sure. She deserves them.
And then, like, inexplicably, he still picks Callie for the matchup.
Lewis's face was so funny during this. He was like, I just love his reactions. And he gave this like, what are you? I forgot what he said in the like confessional, but he was like, what are you doing? Like, what is wrong with you? And Brett is like, it's one of the hardest things I had to do was like choose her. It's like, or you could have just said someone else's name and made it way less awkward for everyone else.
Which is like, if you're really convinced you're a beam, like you're not going to black out. So many other people repeated beams, like it'll be fine. And I also was like, well, maybe because they've like determined the boys probably talk about who they're all going to pick and he didn't want to screw anything up. But like, what Mo and Nuts are going to be pissed that they're not put together. Like, well, there were so many random couples by the end of this that it's just sort of like, you know, he wouldn't have messed anything up. All of the main couples besides maybe Zach and Morgan matched up earlier on.
Yeah, it was he would have been fine choosing really anyone else.
So then Tomas picks Bria. Here come the random brigade. Kwasi picks Jasmine. Mo picks Nutza, which I love. She lays like an epic smackdown too. Of like, he doesn't talk to anyone in the house. He just cooks and cleans.
Maybe that's what some people just want, right? You know, like cooking and cleaning. Like that's, I feel like that's a guy who cooks and cleans could go a long way in the household.
And Zach picks Morgan. Again, they get three beams, but only two of them are still, I don't know, anonymous because we have one perfect match.
Yeah.
And then we get some interesting information about what's going to happen next week.
Yeah, we're in the danger zone, apparently. That's what Taryn said.
Which, like, if they'd gotten 10 beams, he would have been like, you're in the danger zone. Like, you just won, but it's the danger zone.
So now what's happening? Like they're doing a, what is it called? A couple, it's like a couple's retreat or how did he word it?
Yeah. So it's an overnight relationship rehab.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Which I hope is actually like, I actually think that this could be a nice transition for the show from not having challenges to like making it sort of like a couple's therapy meets Are You the One, where if they're so bad at relationships that like every week they have some sort of like, or every few weeks they have like a task or like some communication activity with their couple or like some way to improve their dating style, even if it's like a joke, like bringing in their exes. Obviously that's not rehab, but like if you're, the angle of the show is how terrible they are at dating, it does kind of make sense that they would do some sort of dating intervention.
Do you think they're going to be like paired up with the people they want to be paired up with, or is it going to be random? Because the way he made it seem is like you're spending time with the wrong people. Like, so you would think that they're going to switch things up, but I guess we'll have to find out.
Yeah, that will be interesting to see too, if it's like a definite pairs thing, if it's just sort of like everyone together. I'm just so excited. I love when the exes come. They don't always do it. I'm super excited. We're going to get some exes. And it seems like they'll be spending some time with the people as opposed to when they just are there for a challenge.
You know, I enjoy when, I think, wasn't it like season one where they like came into the house and like hung out for a while? I feel like it would be cool to see more of that. And like as long as Taylor is not back, I think everyone will be happy with whoever the exes are.
All right. So we have some tweets to talk about. We have some little Are You the One news to talk about. Before we get to that, first, anything else from this episode you wanted to talk about that we didn't
get to? No, I think we're all clear.
All right, so we want to thank our 5-star reviewer Maggie Ray 47. Really appreciate it, especially since we're just getting started in the season. If you guys want to leave us a 5-star review, you can do that at robisawebsite.com/challenge iTunes. It's the same feed for the challenge podcast I do every week with Brian. That's also out now from this week's episode. Please mention that you're watching Are You the One. It's helpful for us to know that people are downloading this for the Are You the One podcast specifically. So that's the best way to let us know that. Not so much happens on Twitter with these people, but I've pulled some things that made me laugh. First, we have a question, though, from Twitter, from Derek Paul, who said, based on Nuts's comment, I don't think we'll see much Mo of Mo. Do you think he fades into the cooking and cleaning abyss from here, or has the fuse been lit for a Mo takeover? I think I know the answer, so a Mo watch may be in full effect.
What do you think? I think we know my opinion on Mo, the human boxer, but, like, what do you think?
Yeah, I think Mo is definitely going to be much more of a background character. I see us, like, sort of, like, I don't think he's going to be full Tyler, where, like, he's goes on one date towards the end and is just kind of like a goon in the middle. I think he's going to be way more of a background character that we tend to see on Arya the One. Like, a lot of times there'll be, like, two or three people that we don't really hear from much. And unfortunately, I think, like we said last week, like, Tomas, Mo, Andrew, they were totally gone from this episode, so...
Yeah, it's just, I feel like with any show with this many contestants, like, you have to just accept that. And I'm sure it sucks if you're on the show because you're like, I was there the whole time. But that's just the reality TV. You can't, not everyone fits into the storyline that they're going to lay out.
And also, like, as they get more matches, like, we'll see more people because people will be out of the house. But it's also, like, depends on, like, you're most likely to be a storyline when you're, dating people or talking to people, and if Mo is really not talking to anyone, then we won't really be on the show.
Yeah, it's common sense. I agree. There's, of course, I after the punching bag scene, like, I have a soft spot for him, but it's not looking great.
And it's funny because when you say that, like, he my brain is so fried. Oh, when you say he's probably saying I was on the show the whole time, I was watching this, like, I see Kwasi's not really on this episode, like, that's my dream. Like, the fact that you can go live in a resort, all expenses paid, with just, like, a bunch of hot people. Your only objective is to have fun. And nobody sees you on TV. Like, that's the dream. If I could do reality TV without it being TV, I'd be there in a second.
Yeah, I guess you're right. Like, it is the best of both worlds. Like, you get to go on this beautiful vacation. Nobody in the real world thinks you're a crazy lunatic with all this drama. And you still get to have a good time and maybe make some friends through it. You're right. That is a good deal.
All right, so some things from Twitter. Nutza said, petition for Mo to drop the spatula and talk to Mo girls. Exclamation point emoji, exclamation point emoji. Strong use of, I've never really seen somebody use an exclamation point emoji.
No, new strategy. I hope it pays off for her.
And all Mo wrote was, right, laugh cry emoji.
Wow.
Good work, Mo.
Yeah, wow, really showing his personality there.
And then Tyler from last season wrote, these people can't even have good relationships with horses.
He's still killing it on Twitter.
I like that. Tyler is a good Twitter follow for either one. It's at Tyler semicolon, anyone's interested.
Yeah, no, I feel like last season it just consisted of us reading his tweets throughout most of our podcast. So it's good that he's still staying strong with it.
Callie tweeted, people who think I should have stayed with Brett. First, you don't know me or my history. Second, would you tolerate someone yelling in your face after you only were talking to someone else? Early red flag. And you don't even know the full story. I'm shocked people are coming for her.
That's crazy.
About this.
That's crazy. Well, she has two losers who podcast about the show who are in support of her. So, you know what? That should count for absolutely nothing.
And then she then wrote, still love Brett.
Well, okay. All right. Yeah. That's great. What if they're, like, together and, like, that was her being like, yep, but we still love them. We're together.
Yeah, right. That's happening.
I know.
Alexis from Are You the One tweeted, and this was a small moment before Brett confronts Callie and Zach. She retweets, are we sure Zach's not from West Virginia? # you look like my sister.
Wow. I miss Alexis's craziness on the show.
A new segment I want to work on for both the challenge and Are You the One is people from other MTV reality shows being thirsty with each other. So Zach tweeted, I just need a good girl to help me change my ways. Nilsa from...
I knew you were going to say Nilsa.
From Floribama Shore replies with a gif of her banging on a glass door.
What is she doing?
Like, hello, I'm here. Like me.
This is at Zach?
At Zach. Oh. And Lauren comes in hot and just writes to him, more like a good psychiatrist.
Yes.
Hey-o.
I think that's where we'll agree with Lauren on this one.
And then a couple of items of Are You the One news. So Gia and Hayden had a baby. Gianna and Hayden, sorry.
Cool.
Their baby is August, so congratulations to them.
Their baby's name is August?
Correct.
Is it because she was born in August? Like, is that what the explanation was?
It's a boy, and maybe I actually didn't think about it, but the baby was born in August.
I guess the name is better than Tennessee, so that's always good.
And then a couple things. So this comes to me from good friend of mine and friend of the podcast, Johnny Langan. who told me that, and this is like, I don't think this is a spoiler at all because I have no information. But if you're like really spoiler sensitive, this is the end of the podcast. Thanks for tuning in. So Ari the One has casting calls out for Ari the One. Lighthearted Entertainment has casting calls out. And there are three things you can either just fill out. If you're just an applicant, you can fill out the, you know, what's your name and send us a picture. They have a button for if you are a twin.
Oh, shit.
Please click here. And most interestingly, I think for the show is if you are a sexually fluid individual, please click here. So I don't know. I'm serious when I say it's most interesting for the show. I think that would be incredibly more complicated if everybody was bisexual and then you have like 1,000 different possibilities of who could be with who.
And twins? Like, I'm so confused. Like, they just want...
I don't know if they have... If this is for different seasons, if this is, like, who they get.
Is it the bisexual twin show? Like, is that what's going to happen?
Now, they didn't ask for sexually fluid twins, but it is interesting to me. This whole thing is interesting to me.
Wow. So, like, maybe half the house will be twins and half the house will be, like, sexually fluid people. And, like, it's just going to turn into, like, mayhem.
I feel like these are for two different angles. Like, they're just trying to, like, cast a wide net and see who comes through. But I am in favor of Ari the One, like, shaking up who they cast on the show in terms of gimmicks. Like, I'm fine with a gimmick. I think it would
This is awesome.
Such a better level to see, like, 20 bisexual people who could all be matches with each other.
That would be phenomenal. That would be, like, the biggest shit show ever of 20 people. Because it just ups the chances of people like getting in relationships and like screwing everyone. Like, it would just be phenomenal. I think that's, and come on, like, that's the best show you could possibly market. Like, we have 20 bisexual, 20 something, great looking 20 somethings in a house competing for love. Like that would be like, who wouldn't be like, that's very different. Like, I'm going to watch that.
So we will leave you with hopes of that shit show. You can subscribe for both the challenge and Ari the One podcast at robhaswebsite.com/challenge iTunes. It's also where you can leave us your comments and a 5-star review if you feel the need. You can follow me at Lash Tweets, and I'll be posting question threads there if you have any questions for the podcast. And you can follow Adam
Bongo.
And we will be back next week to talk more of Ari the One.
See you later.